This I seek, to be a living fire, consumed completely.
This is my one desire, and only this I seek, to be a living fire, consumed completely.
This is my one desire, and only this I seek, to be a living fire, completely. This is my one desire, and only this I see, to be a living fire, consumed completely. Come fill me up, Holy Ghost, shine bright until the whole world knows your love. Your love, come set me on a holy
the Lord right now. Why don't you lift your hands, lift your voices. Why don't you just praise the Lord out loud for just a moment. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Someone say it. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We'd like to welcome all of our guests here to Calvary Gospel Church on this wonderful Pentecost Sunday morning. If you're a guest here, we have a kiosk in the back. We'd like for you to come by and fill out a small card, and we'd like to stay in touch with you. And we just appreciate you being here. Thank you for coming this morning. Thank you all, the church family, for showing up this morning. It's such an awesome day. How many has enjoyed the wonderful weather in the last couple of days? Amen. And God is really blessed. Thankfully, we were at the campground for a couple of weeks, and it was in the 30s in the middle of the night. I went through 30 gallons of propane to keep my camper warm. I'm thankful for warmer weather because I'm going back this next week, and I don't want to go back to the Amish store and refill my propane tank. Anybody know what that's all about? You may be seated. 1,992 years estimated ago, Jesus Christ died on a cross. Those numbers are questionable. It's estimated he was 33 and a half years old. There was a four-year widely known Gregorian calendar error that messed the calendar up for us by 4 years. And the year zero is not on the timeline. There's not an AD or a BC zero. It's just not there. So roughly 1,992 years ago, Jesus died on a cross. And it was a very confusing time for his disciples because they thought that Jesus would rise to some political power and take control of Israel as their king and eradicate the Roman government and all those who opposed Israel, and that the true people of God would be able to rise to their prominence in that area like they all thought would happen. But when Jesus was dying on the cross, they realized that those dreams that most of them had for Jesus being their king were falling very short. In fact, whenever they put him in the tomb, it was almost like everything had fallen apart. They scattered literally, we say it comically, but it was true. They scattered like rats. They ran to every place. They changed their character even overnight. Peter began to cuss and deny Jesus because everything that all their hopes and dreams were hung on that cross, and then it died. What they forgot to understand, or they didn't understand during that time of Jesus' teaching, is that he was pointing to something forward. He kept on prophesying of a day that was going to come. It was a forward thinking. It was something was coming. There was something better than what they had. And even though they experienced the power of Jesus' authority and name, and they had cast out demons and healed the sick, they had not yet experienced the wholeness internally inside their own heart of the Holy Spirit coming and living inside of them. They still were very, very human. And Jesus was intending on them to be filled with the Holy Spirit after he was resurrected, but not even just then. He taught them for 40 more days, had to kind of retrain their thinking to realize that there's still something coming. Even though he had resurrected, there was still something coming in the future for them. 40 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost after about 7 days of prayer. I'm thankful today that I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of Christians in this world, many billions of Christians, that are three-day Christians. I say three-day because they understand the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but they don't understand anything beyond the resurrection. They just know of a crucifixion, they know of a cross, and that's their emblem of their religion, is the death of Jesus. And even somewhat the resurrection. But there's a lot, closing in on 1 billion Pentecostals around the world who understand that they are 50-day Christians, amen? That there's another experience still waiting for them that's exceptionally biblical. It's in the book of Acts. That they can be filled with the Spirit of God. They can have power that comes from on high. They can go and be witnesses to all the world, and they have this gift that's been given to them on the day of Pentecost. And so we can get all tied up in all the numbers, but any which way you look at it, there's still time for Jesus to pour out a mighty revival in these end times. There's still time. And so today we look at our responsibility as people who are filled with the Holy Ghost to be those witnesses, just like in the day of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, all the way through. They went everywhere telling everyone about Jesus, but they did it with something extra. They did with the power of the Holy Spirit. Anyone here filled with the Holy Ghost today? Are you thankful that you received the power of the Holy Ghost? Are you thankful that you're a witness? Are you thankful that Jesus chose you out of the so many hundreds of people that could have been, you know, just, it was not an accident. Jesus chose every one of us to be a witness for him. Pentecostal witness. I'm proud to be a Pentecostal, amen? I'm thankful for Jesus' Spirit living inside of me. I once was a three-day Christian, and I became a 50-day Christian when the Holy Ghost filled me and I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So today is a very special day, Pentecost Sunday. And Brother Seidel will be preaching to us this morning, and I'm excited because Brother Seidel has been preaching some fire messages lately, amen? And so it's going to be a really good service, and we're expecting some great things. And so we're just thankful. And you know what? There's some sad things that have happened this week. Sister Lois lost her mother, so she's not here today dealing with those situations. Also, Carl and Cecily, this is going to be their last Sunday service before they go and be missionaries in Montana, which is exciting and sad at the same time. And it's a bittersweet, but let's make it an awesome Sunday, all right? Let's make it an awesome Sunday. If you are here today, we'd like to just show you some giving options on the upper screen, if you could put that up for me. You can give online at cgcmadison.org/giving. You can send your offering in to 5301 Commercial Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin. Or you can text to give. Tithes would be a keyword. Offering is a keyword. MM stands for Mother's Memorial. So if you did have a pledge for Mother's Memorial, there's still time to give that. And not on this list is the word Montana. So if you'd like to give to Carl and Cecily's mission, we'd like for you to put that keyword in Montana. Just put it in the text, and you can give to help support their mission to be missionaries to Montana. Amen. Anybody excited for Carl and Cess? It's going to be an awesome time. I'm sorry, there's not going to be a slide for this, but on June 5th, we have a section men's event here. It's going to be a stakeout. Anybody remember our stakeout a couple years ago that we had, where we had all of the grills out and everyone brought their own steak and we had a preacher? It's going to be just like that on June the 5th at 5 o'clock, Saturday. Am I saying that the date right? Yeah, June the 5th. And we're going to have Lee Endress, the Revival Commission coordinator, speaking to us that evening. So we want all the men. If you're a man, raise your hand. If you like steak, raise your other hand. We'll see you there. Amen. So Sunday, June 6th, we want to remind everybody that we're changing over to our new service schedule. And so that's going to be very similar to what you've heard Brother Roy talk about. At 9:45, we're going to have child check-in begin. So you need to be here just a hair bit early so your children can return to our normal checkout and check-in process. At 10 a.m., the adult and children classes will begin. At 10:45 a.m., check out and greet the guests. So we're going to have a 15-minute greet the guests. Anybody remember greet the guests? Woo! I'm excited to greet the guests. Man, it's like revival. We're going to be able to shake hands and talk to someone for more than 20 seconds. We might even break out the offering bags. Wouldn't it? Can we do that? We're getting out of this. June 2nd, by the way, if you haven't heard, all restrictions will be taken off of Madison and Dane County for COVID. So we're excited for that. If you still feel like you would like to wear a mask to church for whatever reason, health-wise or just anything else, feel free to do that. There's no pressure to take your mask off. There's never been pressure really to put it on besides we just putting signs up on the wall. I'm just thankful to be out of it. Amen. And so worship service then will begin at 11 o'clock a.m., and we are fully intended to be out of here probably in 45 minutes of that time or at least by 12 because VOSIS comes in just directly after that. They start their music practice at noon or so. So it's not going to be a super long service, but we're going to get it all in there. And guess what? All the Sunday school teachers from now on will get to be able to attend Sunday morning service. So there's some give and take, a little of extended service, but our Sunday school teachers deserve to come to Sunday morning service. Amen. Amen. So I'm thankful for that. Amen. So that brings us to for prayer. Let's all stand for a moment. I just want to give another plug out. Speaking of Sunday school, we're looking for more Sunday school teachers. If you can see Brandon Matt, if you feel so led to be a helper of any kind or a teacher, or if you taught before, maybe it's 40 years ago, young or old, it doesn't matter. We're looking for help in the Sunday school department, Brandon Matt or Peter Sandin. It'd be great to talk to either one of those, even Peter, or Peter Sandin. Sorry, said his name twice. But we're looking for Sunday school teachers. Let me say it one more time. We're looking for Sunday school teachers. And so we are expecting some teachers to rise up and come and help us do Sunday school. It's going to be an awesome time. So we've already prayed for one lady who asked for some healing. We're going to do something just slightly different because it's Pentecost Sunday and I'm up here and we're just going to do something different. If you need healing in your body today, we'd like for you to just come forward, and we're going to have people come and behind you. We like, if you need healing or you got a special need, just to come forward into the altar. We're going to start our music with prayer, and we're going to sing two songs. When we're done with the two songs, we're going to praise and worship and pray in the altar for these two songs, and then we're going to return back to our seats. Is that okay? So just come on down for just a few moments. This is Pentecost Sunday. If you have prayer, if you need prayer and healing in your body, would you just raise your hand? Is signifying that you need prayer. With some of the elders and men of the church, would you guys just gather around these that are needing prayer? Don't feel uncomfortable. We're doing something a little different. On the day of Pentecost, Jesus did something very different. And so let's just break the norm for a moment. Let's worship with our worship team. Let's pray. Let's just give everything to God today. And then at the end of these two songs, we're going to hear some awesome preaching of the Word.
Living water flow in me.
Lives inside of me.
That same spirit. Water. do. Cover my head to the soles of my feet. I felt the Spirit all over me. Yeah.
You should have been there when I prayed through. Church was on fire and the Holy Ghost too. Top of my head, soles of my feet. I felt the Spirit moving all over me.
Jordan Stream. I stepped in the water. The water was cold. Killed my body, but now my soul.
Yeah. You don't believe I've been redeemed. Follow me down to the Jordan Stream.
I stepped
in the water. The water was cold. Killed my body, but now my soul.
I've got the river.
A living water.
I've got the river.
A living water.
Oh, I've got the river.
A living water.
Shut up in my bones to the word. the one that I desire, the all-consuming fire in your presence. When I'm at your throne, it's like fire, shut up in my bones. You're the one that I desire, you're the all-consuming fire.
In your presence, when I'm at your throne, it's like fire, shut up in my bones. You're the one.
This morning. My message this morning is hope deferred, hope fulfilled. How many of you have come here this morning with hope in your hearts? How many of you have waited through this COVID period with hope and desire and expectation for what God can do? The Bible says that on the day of Pentecost, they were all together with one accord in one place. Amen. I feel like there's some unity here in our worship. I don't know exactly what they were doing when the Holy Ghost fell. Maybe someone was given a Bible study. Maybe someone was singing their favorite hymn. Maybe someone was praying for somebody else. Maybe they were all just half asleep because they were tired from fasting. I don't know. But the Bible says that suddenly, whatever they were doing, however they were doing it, God decided it was time for him to do what he was going to do. Hallelujah. Say suddenly. Praise God. Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. You may be seated. Amen. Man, it's good to have church again. To get together and shout and pray and let God have his way. I want to ask you to do something on an individual basis. This is Pentecost Sunday, and suddenly the Bible says, the Holy Ghost, there are people here who have needs. There are people here who have desires. There are people here who are waiting on the promises of God. And don't wait until I'm done with what I'm doing here. But if in the midst of this service you feel like God has suddenly touched you, suddenly confirmed the promise, suddenly spoken to you, I want you to respond wherever you are. And I'm not asking for 20 people to gather around that person. I'm asking for you to respond. Lift up your hand, stand up. Get in the aisle, come down to the front, whatever you need to do. But when you reach that point, when suddenly, respond. We want to let God have his way here. We've been waiting for church. We've been waiting a long time. And if we're going to let God have his way, why not do it on Pentecost Sunday? Amen. The preteens can go to class if they haven't gone yet. Amen. I think they all went. I wrote it down. You come home from work. It's been a rough day. But your family meets you as you get out of your vehicle. Wait, they say. Don't take another step. Put your stuff down. One of your children takes out a bandana and says, turn around, and wraps it around your head, and suddenly you're blindfolded. And you're thinking, now what? They lead you into the house and out the back door. And every now and then you're peeking from underneath that bandana to see what's going on. Can't quite see everything, but now you're in the yard. Getting a little irritated because the recliner is calling and you want to be in it, and you're thinking, stop this silliness, let me be home. And while they're leading you through the backyard, you hear the garage door open again and the car start up, and you think, what is going on here? They lead you back into the house. You stumble over the stoop going in. Then they take you all the way through the house to the back and then back into the garage. What's going on here? By now the whole family is giddy. They're giggling. And you can sense the excitement. Anybody sense any excitement in this house this morning? You can sense the excitement, and now you're getting excited. You're past the point of, what? You want to find out what's happening here. And you're getting a little, you know something's up. I mean, you're in the garage, you heard the garage door go up, you heard the car start. Now you have some ideas about what might be happening. You have some thoughts, you have some hopes, even some expectation about what's going to happen. And then they take off the blindfold. Sometimes it's worth the wait. For example, just think about Jericho. God brings his people out of Egypt, leads them across the River Jordan in a miraculous way, and now they're thinking, we're going to roll. And God says, hold on a second. This is how we're going to do Jericho. You're going to march around the city once a day for 6 days, and on the seventh day, you're going to march around seven times. 13 times in seven. What? I thought we were going to take the city. I thought we were going to take the promised land. Why? 13 times. 7 days they waited. And they stayed silent. Anybody here been silent for 7 days? They blew the trumpets when the time came. They shouted. They did what they were supposed to do. They followed God's instructions. They waited on God, and the walls fell down. God had a plan. God always has a plan. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. I feel like there's someone here this morning that needs to return to the Lord, that needs to lay a few things down, that needs to change direction a little bit. I felt that in prayer, that there's someone who's going to return to the Lord this morning, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts, God says, are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. God doesn't judge things the way we judge things. He doesn't judge people the way we judge people. His thoughts are above our thoughts. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts are not your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud. There's some things that God wants to come forth and bud this morning, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. God says, I'm in charge of the universe. I make it snow. I make it rain. I make the seeds to grow. I make the fruit to come forth. Don't you think I can meet your need? He has a plan for his people, for the church, not just Calvary Gospel Church, but the church. God has a plan for the church in the world today. No matter what happens in the political realm, no matter what happens on the international scene, God has a plan for the church. But he has a plan for each one of us. That's amazing to me. That God has a plan for me. Even the people who have never set foot in a church, even the people who have fought against the will of God, he has a plan for them. If only we will submit to him and turn from our own ways. He controls the wind and the rain. He controls the universe. Israel was waiting for God to reveal his plan. They were waiting for fulfillment. Their hope was deferred. They were waiting for Messiah to come. They had been up and down throughout the course of history, done great things under God's instruction and direction, but done terrible things out of their own will. Luke 7:19 says, John calling unto him two of his disciples sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? John has already been with Jesus. He has already spoken the word over him. He has already confirmed that this is the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. But now he's wondering, now he's questioning, was I right? Is he the one? Think about that. Jesus said there is no greater man born of woman than John the Baptist. So should we be surprised when we have doubts on occasion? When the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues. Jesus didn't give a verbal response right away. He just started working. And of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind, he gave sight. Have you had some questions in your mind in the last year and a half? Have you had some doubts? I'm not surprised. And neither should you be surprised. But I'm believing. I believe with all my heart that we're going to see God give us an answer, and it's not going to be necessarily out of somebody's mouth. He's going to start doing some things to show that he's still God. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard. That's going to be our witness. That's going to be our testimony. This is what I saw happen. This is what happened when I prayed for that person. This is what happened when my friend prayed for that person. This is what happened at church on Sunday. This is what happened on Pentecost Sunday when we all got together with the rest of the state and had a worship service. Tell them things ye have seen and heard, how the blind see and the lame walk and the lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Oh, praise God. I'm still glad I'm a Christian. I'm still glad I'm Holy Ghost filled. I'm still glad I'm baptized in Jesus' name. I'm still glad I'm an apostolic, tongue-talking, holy rolling, Jesus' name believer in the Word of God. Hallelujah. I remember as a child, roundabout, back then Christmas didn't start till like November. It didn't start the day after Halloween like it does now. And around the first week or two of November, you started getting excited about Christmas because you knew it was coming. The first snow meant a lot more back then because it was Christmas time. And we all had the warnings that, well, you have to behave or you won't get what you want for Christmas. Like, that's real fair, right? You're not going to get what you, if you don't behave. And even Dennis the Menace in the comics was good during that time. Because Christmas was coming. Remember what it was like trying to go to sleep on Christmas Eve. We did a family exchange on Christmas Eve, and then as a child, and then on Christmas morning was when we opened the gifts when we were children from Santa Claus. And even when we grew older, let me don't want to offend anybody's sensibilities, though I have some opinions about that. Anyway. Even when we were older, there was still excitement because we weren't allowed to know what we were going to open up on Christmas morning. It was never in. Only once did I find my presents ahead of time, and I paid for that. So, you remember that expectation, that hope? You knew it was going to happen, but you didn't know exactly what. God began to fulfill his promise in Israel. He came in the flesh. And the Bible says that the majority of Israel did not recognize who he was. Galatians 4 says, even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. I remember that life. But when the fullness of the time was come, fullness of the time was come. When God's time was full, he sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That phrase, when the fullness of time comes, just means that, when it filled up. It's kind of like this. Everybody knows what an hourglass looks like, right? The hourglass with the sand falling through. Except picture an hourglass, only all you can see is the bottom half. And it's filling up, but you never know quite sure how much more sand is in the top. It looks like it's getting full. It looks like it should fill up real quickly, but it just, the sand is falling and you're waiting and all you can see is the bottom half and you're not really sure. There's an expectation. It's got to fill up sometime. The sand keeps falling. And for some reason, sometimes it falls faster and sometimes it slows down. And the expectation is building. There was expectation in Israel. The scripture indicates that. They were looking for the Messiah. They were hoping for the Messiah. There was faith there for some, not for all. There was hope there, but not for all. And not where you would expect it the most. Luke 7:19, John calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Even after he was there, his prophet had a question. We cannot judge God by our own expectations. I'm going to say that again. We cannot judge God by our own expectations. This is what I think God should do. This is how I think he should do it. This is when I think it should happen. We can't judge God that way. He's in control of the flow of time and circumstance. We can give ourselves false hopes. We can create a whole mental framework that doesn't agree with what the book says. Or what God has even promised to do. There's so much misunderstanding and misinterpretation in the religious world today. And if you listen to what people say about the Bible and about the truth, then you'll really be confused. There were many beliefs then about how the Messiah would come or who it would be. My wife and I just yesterday came up in conversation when we were relatively new Christians. Maybe you're in the church, if even that. We got involved with the campus ministry almost out of the gate. And we would go down during registration and try and get people involved in campus ministry, creating an interest by giving them leaflets and pamphlets. When they were registering. And we gave a pamphlet to one young man, and he said, I don't need that. And we said, well, why not? He said, well, you don't know who I am, but I'm of the tribe of Judah. He said, and I know that my line, my ancestral line, makes me a candidate to be the Messiah. We were new Christians. We didn't know what to say. Oh, really? Tell me about it. So he explained the whole thing. It documented. It's like it under lock and key. I can, you know. It can be proven that he was like first in line to fulfill that role because of his heritage, because of his ancestry. You know, and I was a new Christian, so I really didn't know what to say. I said, well, I think you're a little late. Needless to say, he didn't take a Bible study. We should judge God by his promises.
well, we shouldn't really judge him, but we should approach God based on his promises. We should approach God based on his word. What has he said? We should approach God understanding his works. There have been times when I've wondered, am I really on the right track? Am I really? But I can never forget the day when I was baptized in Jesus' name. And I came out of the water. And I did not expect it. But when I came out from the changing room, I stopped on the platform. I think it was Brother Grant that was standing there, or one of the elders. And I just stopped in my tracks on this side of the platform. And I looked up and I said, wow, I really feel different. My sins were washed away. And it wasn't something that someone told me I should feel. It wasn't something I expected to feel. It was something that inside of me, there was like a freshness, a newness that I didn't expect. 10 days later, God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I spoke in another language, and I spoke like 5 words, if it was even that much, and I stopped, and I looked at the person I was praying with, and that was praying with me. I said, was that it? He said, that's it. And I said, that's it. Praise God. I came back home and I talked to Brother Grant and I said, you know, I didn't speak in tongues for a long time. It was just a few words. And he said, well, just pray until it happens again. And the more you pray, the more it'll happen. Hallelujah. Come to God based on his word, based on his works, based on his promises, not on our expectations. Well, it hasn't happened for me yet. Well, Isaiah said, wait on the Lord, and he shall renew your strength. He said, you'll mount up with wings like an eagle. You'll run and not be weary. You'll walk and not faint. What speed do you want to move at? That's between you and God, but he's going to give you the strength. Some people come to God and they're flying after a week or two. Other people, they're walking. But we have to wait. He will fulfill his word. Praise God, I'm way over time already. Forget about that. It's Pentecost Sunday. God began to fulfill his promises to Israel, and they were not even sure what was going on. The disciples themselves had the same issues. They questioned him frequently. Is this when the kingdom is going to be put in place? Is this when you're going to give us rule over the Romans? Is this when we're going to be in the royal courts? What are you hoping for? What is it you're looking for from God? The Bible promises righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. If the whole world could get a hold of that, we wouldn't have war. We wouldn't have political division. We wouldn't have racism, because there would be full of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. What are you looking for? What are you hoping for? What has God promised you? That's the real question. Not what do you want. What has God promised us? No better day than Pentecost Sunday to get some righteousness, some peace, and some joy. Luke 24:49, and behold, he said, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in Jerusalem. Wait here. Don't go anywhere. But until you be endued with power from on high, a lot of times we get an idea and we want to go when God's saying, wait. I've done it myself too many times. Acts 1:4 says, and being assembled together with them, same author, basically the same time and place, retelling of the story and being assembled together with them, he commanded them, not a suggestion, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Praise God. The Bible talks about the rhema of God's word, that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We have times when we are seeking God and he speaks to us. And we need to learn to recognize that I have just received a word from God. It's not like there has to be, the lens of your vision has to be clouded all of a sudden and there's little furry things. No. It's when he speaks to your heart, he gives you a word. That's the promises of God. I'm not talking about opening your Bible and pointing to a verse. I'm talking about being in the presence of God and the power of God descends and moves in your heart and you realize, ooh, God's saying something to me here. Those are the promises of God. That's good reason to have a journal. Just write those things down if you don't do anything else. And then pray about that. Yeah, pray about the promises of God, not about what you want. He promised it. Are you waiting to receive the Holy Ghost? Have you never spoken in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance? That's a promise from God. I said, it's a promise of God. There were 120 people waiting for it on the day of Pentecost. That's what it's all about. The church world tries to shape it into all kinds of different things. But Jesus said, wait here. I got something coming, and I'm promising it's going to happen. Just obey my word, and it will happen. And on the day of Pentecost, they were all together in one place, and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. The promise is still here. For the promise, Peter said, is unto you and to your children and to those that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Well, I'm a Christian. That means he's calling you. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed, it says in Acts 19. Praise God. I'm not taking away from the fact that you believe. I'm telling you that the question is valid because Paul asked it. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Amen. It's a promise. And on the day of Pentecost, it was poured out upon all flesh. All flesh. When Peter quoted Joel the prophet, he said, God promised to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. The guy on State Street that you cross the street because he's there. He's poured out his Spirit upon all flesh. God has a plan. He always has a plan. Even in these days, even in these fractious times, even in this divided country, God has a plan. Romans 8:18 says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. That means the creation of God is waiting for God's people to do what God called them to do. All of creation is waiting for the church to be the church. For the creation, the creature, was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself, the creation, also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Oh yeah, by the way, when the blindfold came off, it was a brand new 2021 BMW X1 luxury SUV. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Boy, I feel the presence of God here. I feel faith in this place. Luke 11:2, I'm going to read the Lord's Prayer. And he said unto them, anytime you feel like coming down to pray, come on down and pray. Anytime you feel like stepping out from where you are, step out from where you are. The opportunity was there all along, but I want to encourage you now to do it before we're done here. He said unto him, when you pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Notice that he doesn't ask for forgiveness until he gives all the glory and honor to God. He praises him, worships him, surrenders to him. All my needs I give to you, and oh, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me and give me a heart to forgive everyone that is indebted to me. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you, and this is the, sometimes we take the Lord's Prayer and we pull it out of the scripture, but the next thing he said was directly related to prayer. Which of you shall have a friend and go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, go away! I've closed up the door. We're all locked up. I'm in my pajamas. I'm not getting up to give you bread. Jesus said, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, he's not doing it because you like that guy, but because he's there and you know he's not going away until you give him some bread. And I say unto you, Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. I don't think Jesus is saying in this case, you have to wait. That's all I've talked about this morning was wait. But in this case, what Jesus is saying is that if you will, verse 10, everyone that asketh receiveth. That means continues to ask. And he that seeketh findeth. If you keep seeking, you'll find it. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If we pursue the promises of God, if we pursue the word of God in our lives, he will fulfill the things that he has promised us. Praise God. What is it you brought here? What hope? What desire? What promise is in your heart? Bring it here to this altar. Bring it to prayer on your knees. But this is your opportunity. If you've never been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, it's a promise from God. I don't care what the rest of the world says about it. It doesn't matter. It's in the book. It happened over and over again in the book. It was a promise from God. Luke 24 says that's why Jesus died, so that we could have it. It's yours today if you want it. Praise God. Let's pray. Let's worship. Come and pray. Come and seek God. The promises of God are yea and in and amen. It says, and in him, in Jesus Christ, they're amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. The promises of God are here today. The word of God is true, and it will never be overcome.
Come make your throne upon our praise here in this place. Have your way. The moment that we see you, we are changed. Show us your glory. Show us your glory.
Worship him. If there's nothing you're seeking in particular, just lift up your hands and glorify God, because he's here in his Holy Spirit. He's moving. You may receive a promise today from God in your spirit that you were wondering about. You may receive an answer that you've been praying about. Just let God talk to you. Hallelujah.
Not by power, not
Everyone comes back at 6 o'clock tonight. Come early to pray. Pentecost Sunday. Save our nation. The power of God is going to flow from the epicenter of Milwaukee Panther Arena. It's going to flow from the epicenter of Calvary Gospel Church. The state of Wisconsin is going to be changed after this evening. Be a part of it. Come and worship God. Receive the promises of God in Jesus' name.